This is the Talking Split Podcast.
Welcome back, coaches. Another week of the Talking Split Podcast, the season finale, we'll call it, before we tick over to season 9 next year. I am Rob Calder, joined by the self-proclaimed dream team, Zoe Carr, Nathan Cooper-Brown. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You laugh, but there's an element of truth from both of you.
Oh, we're not laughing at that. No. We're just happy that you've finally figured it out that, we are.
I did say self-proclaimed.
Recognise.
Recognise.
Yeah, it's just started well already. Big thanks, coaches, for jumping in on the podcast for another week. Once again, if you're able to leave a rating or a review, that would be a huge help to help try and grow the podcast to as many coaches out there as possible. This is the last pod for the year. My shoulder is thankful for not having to carry the podcast equipment from the SBC car park back into the gaze room. We have hit a seasonably warm day, it would be fair to say, and this will probably be our last pod from the gaze room before we move over to the new building. So light a match on the way out. We're out of here. Even if you lit a match, it would probably still be cooler with the fire going than what it is in this room most of the time. But this will be our last pod from over here. What you may notice is we have sort of mentioned a little bit over the last couple of podcasts alluding to a US trip and those types of things coming up. So the timing, as you may be aware, might be a little bit out on this. As this is dropping, I think you guys are actually landing back in Australia on the same day that it potentially drops. So we have tried to bank a few of these up over the course. So you're getting old content, which is new content. So think of it as a Christmas gift for everyone.
Nice.
We are discussing today the holiday period. There is a magical little few weeks here where we don't really have too much organised basketball going on. And we're going to sort of look a little bit, of course, Christmas themed. Naturally, I would have had some music organised, but I got distracted by a dog with a puffy tail. And consequently, there is no music for this one. But imagine bells ringing in the background. Coops has already rolled in and said, hey, I caught up on Below Deck today.
Like, absolutely.
Is this going to be a binge on the plane to or from the States?
No, he's up to date. He's got nothing else to watch.
Oh, there's nothing.
No. Oh. I'd like Air Fiji. Like, I've been, you know, petitioning more Bravo content, you know, on the in-flight entertainment, but nothing coming at the moment.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But you know, like, if I watch an episode without my wife, then it would it wouldn't go down well.
Yeah, it's worth
pun intended.
Yeah.
Maritime jokes. Here we go.
Very good. Boy, was that good. So we're looking at... So we just got it. You can take a long walk off the shore. So we are putting out the planks at the moment. We are going to talk about the 12 things that we think that you should be doing over the holiday period if you are a basketball coach in this space. So we'll throw ours out here. If there are any that we've missed or we've forgotten about, by all means, throw us a reply or a mention somewhere on either X or Instagram or the Facebook page when BV puts it up. Good job, Brent. Big shout out to him once again. He got it up last week without me having to remind him. Look at this progress.
Hey, outstanding.
That means we're real, like we're big time.
We are big time. Yeah. This is what happens when Jared Potter's gone away. It's taken us like 12 months to try and get Brent to remember on the Friday to post the pod. But we've got there. We have got there. So, like I said, 12 things that you can do in the holiday period requiring zero turtle doves on anyone's end. So, number one thing, set up a training program for your players over the break. They're always looking for stuff to do. So how important, what would you be putting in, Coops, I suppose, is probably one of the questions. What would you give your players over this period?
Yeah, I'm in that at the moment, you know, looking at which age groups are going to get what. And one of the biggest things for me at the moment is balance. That's the thing that I've been really trying to make my number one priority when creating these schedules or workouts, knowing that this is such a valuable time for athletes to get away from basketball. You know, they need to get away, they need to spend time with the family, they need to get down to the beach, they need to do all those sorts of things. But they also, you know, they still have to keep that level of strength, that level of conditioning, that level of touch with the basketball. So, yeah, for me, it's big time balance. You know, can we substitute, you know, the time spent at school? Can we potentially put in, you know, an hour or two of something, you know, that we're going to value around, you know, basketball in the hand or going for a run or a swim? Or, you know, does it need to be time spent in recovery? You know, do they just need to go and walk in the ocean, you know, which we know is really valuable? But then that other, you know, 4 to 6 hours, can we get them out? Can we get them about riding their bikes, doing all the cool things that kids need to do over the summer so they come back revitalized?
Yep. What about you, Zoe? What would you be looking at? Because balance is a massive part of it. But let's face it, for the BVC or the state team level athletes that are potentially rolling back in, they're back on court early Jan. what can they be doing in that time to just maintain some fitness?
Yeah, well, it's really important that you don't go from everything that we do at the moment and that our young athletes are subject to within our sport to nothing to then back, because that is an injury waiting to happen. So you do need to take the foot off the gas a little bit, but it cannot be completely, because otherwise the jump from where your fitness level and even just the load on your joints and things like that, the jump is too great. And so then that's, you know, long-term injuries come in and you know, you end up watching rather than playing. So it's really important just to, yeah, just sort of dial it back a little bit rather than go to nothing. You know, obviously keep a ball in your hand, you know, but I would change it from a structured, if they've got this ability, a structured, you know, do this amount of shooting, do this amount of dribbling, do this amount of, you know, whatever, and be like 45 minutes of 1v1. You know, find somebody, preferably someone older, if you can.
Not too old.
Like, and just ball out.
Coaches, save your knees and ankles. If one of your players rings up and says, we want to play one-on-one, avoid it at all costs.
But just ball out.
Yep.
Because especially in one-on-one, you're going to get the fitness level of that. In 45 minutes, that's probably better than any 90 minute to 2 hour session that you would do as a team anyway. So, you know, you're going to get bulk shots up. You're going to, you know, keep your fitness levels up and your touch up and all those sort of things. But the most important thing you get out of it is a bit, especially if you're lacking this at the moment, a love for what you're doing, because it's fun and, you know, there's no rules and you – but then you also get to explore and find new ways to score or to execute things and things like that. And that becomes so important. And I think that can help reconnect our athletes sometimes. I know right now if I was one of our athletes, I'd probably be just trying to get through to the end of our last pre-cup camp in December and just to exhale. These sort of things can, and if it's not one-on-one, just maybe small group, like 2v2, 3v3, if you've got it. You know, it can be outside. You know, just don't wear good shoes and you'll be okay.
Well, one of the good things they can do is obviously the game fit conditioning. Yeah. So if they aren't in a position where they can go and play one-on-one because they might live remotely or they're away on holidays and don't know anyone in that area, get on the Core Advantage Interval Timer app, which has got the game fit program in there, which it messes some players up.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah. It does a good job of keeping you in touch with what you need to be doing.
Yeah. But and the reason I say as well with the small game, you know, no rules, just balling out sort of games, is in such a short amount of time you get bang for your buck. So you're not having to carve out 4 hours of your holiday. You've just got to find a basket for like 45 minutes and, you know, you can get that done. So I think I'd like to see more of that over the break, especially because our athletes don't really have time to play freestyle now anyway. So if they use this time to get that done, I think we'd see some improvements on the
return.
If
you can keep traction on an outdoor court, you will have no problems on some of the venues that we use.
It's what we say on Saturdays with closeouts. If you can close out on a primary school gym floor, you're going to be dynamite on the real floor.
Just building on that, because I think it's such a great point. Yeah, one of my pet peeves is seeing athletes, you know, sitting in the gym for 4 hours. So holidays around, you know, they can go down, you know, spend $2 to go do casual shooting.
$2? Well, when was the last time you casual shot, Coops? Like 1964 prices?
Well, Coops has never had to actually pay, so he doesn't know. He just rolls in and he's like, do you know who I am?
Yeah. You get a cup of tea.
Dirk paid. If Dirk can pay, you can pay.
But you get a cup of tea, a pie. What else do you get for the $2, right?
Mixed lollies.
Yeah, mixed lollies.
Bag of mixed lollies.
Yeah. You know, I hate seeing that. You know, kids go down, they spend, you know, 3, 4, you know, whatever it is, 5 hours in the gym all day, and then they think that they're doing something. They think that that has the value in it to be improving, and it's not, because you're spending 30 minutes on the phone and then you're talking to someone and then you're kind of shooting at 25% and then you maybe play a game, but you play a game against, you know, some, you know, a couple of guys who aren't really at the standard, and yeah, all of a sudden, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours have gone by and what have you really done except, you know, just sat in a basketball gym all day? So that the idea of purpose and exactly what Zoe's saying, you know, that 45 minutes of high intensity one-on-one, you know, get in, you know, work your tail off, enjoy it, know you got better, and then get out of there and then go and enjoy your holiday somewhere, you know, somewhere else. Go watch an NBL game or go down the beach or yep. whatever.
And that's such a good point, though, about – sorry to cut you off there.
No, used to that.
But it is such a good point about – and I remember this clearly. We used to, when I was at the AAS, Phil Brown, who was our head coach – if you don't know who Phil Brown is, please – Google him. One of the best coaches this country has ever had. So we used to have every week we had to shoot X amount of shots. And depending if we're a high week, low week, you know, it might be 1,000, it might be 500, whatever. But if you went into the gym and you played certain amount of time of 1v1, that took off your shots. Because from that perspective, it was – that you're in that high-intensity environment that is directly relatable to gameplay and you're having to make those shots under those sort of positions or, you know, in those, you know, adaptive finishing rather than just straight up. One thing he hated and he would always, you'd hear his office door and if you knew he was coming for you, was being in the gym and embedding bad habits of just, I'm just going to walk to the 45 and I'm going to shoot this and then I'm just going to walk and rebound it. I'm going to walk to the short corner and now I'm going to shoot that. And that was a pet peeve. And all it does, like, yeah, you might think, oh, look at me. I've been in the gym for all that time. All you're doing is creating and embedding really bad habits because that now becomes your level. Whereas, yeah, that quick, short, sharp, get out of there, that now that's your habit. You start to train your brain that when I cross this line, this is how I train and play rather than that sort of laconic sort of just getting it through. But look, I post on Instagram that I've been here for 4 hours.
So good. And you think about that in relating to, you know, producing, you know, some sort of workout or schedule or something for the athletes, variety. You know, we know variety is going to be the bedrock of development. Because what are the athletes, you know, going to spend most of their time doing? Probably spot shooting, right? Because it's the easiest thing. They want to see the ball go through the net. You know, all of a sudden they've made 100 shots that day or whatever. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting better. No, not really. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of form in there, a little bit of rhythm. Yep, sure, there's benefit to that. But without the variety, without the, you know, the interval, the interleaving and, you know, the force on the body to forget and recall and to do something different and
fatigue
and all those sorts of things, you know, you're not going to get to the levels of improvement that you'd want out of this really valuable time where you can just focus on your game and not worry about team basketball.
Yep, absolutely. All right, on to number two. Eventually. God.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. Absolutely knew that was coming.
Yeah, Seth, like... Guys, this is like an hour-long podcast and we have to be out of the room at 3:30 at the very latest.
I'm consistently getting told these need to go for longer.
Yeah, well, you're about to be.
Because they're all country people and they're driving minimum 2 hours.
Yeah, well, review some of your old games for some learning. Zoe, what would that potentially look like for coaches out there that potentially film their games during the year? And we're not saying sit in a darkened room and just, you know, enjoy watching it, but you're watching for a purpose more than anything else.
Yeah, I think we need to go a step back before actually getting the tape out and reflect on your coaching and your what you would be perceived as weaknesses coaching,
yep.
Particularly in gameplay if you're going to use the film. So what do you think your weaknesses are? Then marry that up with the film that you've got and, you know, cite it and then you can start to put together, okay, well, this is the action I took. Here was the direct reaction. So next time, if I'm in that exact same position, I should do this. But I think just watching your games without that reflection piece beforehand and with a real direct view of what you want to try and get out of it, what you end up doing is watching the game and...
being a spectator.
You enjoy the good bits and you kind of turn a blind eye to the bad bits and all that sort of stuff. Or you get athlete focused again. And like, it's really important to you know, you have to watch the athletes because they are the result of your decision making and things like that. But I think we get more about like, oh, you know, she still can't go left, or, you know, all that sort of stuff. You got to try and stay on track with that as to what you're actually trying to get out of this, which is a, I guess, critique on your own coaching and trying to find that sort of improvement. So reflect on your weaknesses, then marry it up with the film, and then come up with your little, you know, two or three solutions or, you know, adaptations that you might have if you were to come across that again.
Yep.
Yeah, as I've said before, you know, you have to have great self-awareness to be an elite person, but especially be an elite basketball coach. And that's how you develop it, is those reflection practices. And I just think that that's such a great place to begin this off-season. You know, is to sit down with a pen and paper, you know, maybe have a conversation with a couple of mentors or some people that have recently seen your coach, and just, you know, be brutal with yourself, you know, and sit down and identify the weaknesses, but also give yourself a pat on the back if there's some things you did well, you know, write those things down. And then, yeah, don't be afraid to sit there and stop and rewind and, you know, pause and really delve into that film and, you know, again, just evaluate. The other part too is, you know, how many times have you just sat and watched yourself and the bench? You know, what has your bench been like? What's the bench culture like? What's your body language really like? You know, if you just sit there and, you know, kind of take your eyes off the game, just watch yourself moving up and down. How many times are you spinning around and yelling at the bench or throwing your hands up in the air? You know, some things that can you identify just to improve on a different level rather than, you know, a basic coaching standpoint. Just for our coaches that potentially don't have that opportunity, you know, go grab some footage from YouTube, you know, or KO, whatever you have access to, and put yourself in that coach's shoes. Now, it's going to be difficult. You don't know all the ins and outs, but you can spend time in evaluating games from a coach's standpoint to help you become better. So if you don't have footage of your games, try and do that. You know, what would I do here? You know, how are they defending that action? Would I change it to be more successful? And use the film, yeah, as the, you know, awesome development tool we know it is.
Absolutely. And please, coaches, be kind to yourself. Like, it is one of those areas too where I think we can go and review some things to try and get better and learn and those types of things. And we spend all this time just piling on ourselves. I should have done this. I should have done this. I should have done this. There's probably a reason you didn't. Now, it might have been in the time, it just wasn't the right time and you thought about it and it didn't work out that way. Of course, hindsight's 20/20. A dog's just walked past the gaze room, which is just summed up.
I'm out.
Like, Zoe's checked out of this podcast well and
his
truly.
His name's Gary.
His name's Gary. Yeah, you can tell this is the last podcast of the year, can't you? Yeah. But it is, it's an area where coaches, you do have to be kind to yourself in that as well. If you're in that position, did I go through this? Did I come to a different solution? Would I have done it differently? It's all okay to be wrong in hindsight. Just learn from it is the biggest thing with it.
I had a conversation similar to this just last Saturday with a coach, and it was a case of, if I come to you and ask you why you did something, I'm not coming to you because I'm trying to trip you up. I'm coming to you because I want to find your answers. Now, I might ask you if it's worked. I might ask you if it hasn't worked. You know, that's it. It's not a I'm not trying to trick you or anything like that, because there are times where we make decisions and regardless of how it turns out, it's the right decision. But if it works, everyone thinks you're a genius, and if it doesn't work, everyone thinks you're terrible. And so it's, you know, my biggest thing is that you have that reasoning as to behind your decision making, rather than just I went to the zone because we hadn't played zone in a while. Like, that's not, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. So if you've got that sort of reasoning, and that's, these sort of exercises can help build your reasoning, because you start to see in a sort of a safe environment where nothing's going to change, there's no outcome because it's already happened, all that sort of stuff, and you can, you know, make your adjustments and just sort of see. And then when you get into the game, and you're in that situation, you can draw back on those, I guess, little scenarios that you've put together. But I also would say, if you're going to go through and do all of that in the off season, once you get back to your season, throw those scenarios into your practice. Like, get used to coaching scenario gameplay, because we don't really get a lot of it you know, week on, week off. So if you can put it into your trainings, if you do come across it in a game, particularly if it is a game that matters, like, you're good to go. You've done it all before. You've watched it on film. You've put your markers in place and you've worked it at practice. There'll be no issue and you'll hit it every time.
There's a great video on YouTube. It's a TEDx talk with Simon Sinek. And, yeah, you know, the one start, I think it's start with the inside, start the inside out. But basically it's about knowing your why. You know, that a lot of us kind of work from the outside in around, you know, the what and then the how and then the why becomes last. And so for anybody that hasn't seen it, with this time to spend, you know, more in reflection, go have a look at that TEDx talk. Have a think about, why do I coach? Why do I coach that particular way? Why do I do those sorts of things? And it's going to help, you know, exactly with what Zoe's talking about, create clarity around your coaching.
Yep, love it. We're on to the next one. Number three, focus on your own health during this little bit of downtime. So, God, we could go on this one forever, but I'm looking at how long we've already gone for and we won't be. Good job, guys. But it is one of those
areas.
Yeah, I know.
Part two?
God. Yeah, no worries. We'll do it live from Dallas. But one of the areas we talk about a lot as coaches is obviously you've got to focus on your own health, because there are times where we're driving out of stadiums, obviously at 11 p.m. at night, or we're up at 5 a.m. for workouts with players. We're going straight from our normal jobs into our coaching jobs. And I say that jobs is an inverted commas more than anything else, but we give a lot to coaching and consequently our health can tend to suffer. And I'm certainly in that space at the moment where it's not in the best of shape. I'm not dying before anyone starts to go down that point, but it is one of those areas where my health has suffered significantly over probably the last 6 to 8 months. So this is my reset over the Christmas break in particular. And it probably helps that Zoe's going away and I only have to think about myself more than anything else. I don't have to worry about, hey,
are
what
you
would
saying
you
I'm the problem?
No, I'm not saying you're the problem. What I'm saying is, if I feel like I only want a cheese toastie, I can have that with no fear of repercussion of, oh, but now I'm hungry afterwards. That's my problem to deal with. So it is easier for me to only have to worry about myself in that area. So I get a little bit of a run-up into this in the first place. So it's an area where more exercise, eat better foods, the meditation side of things, the breathing exercises, the journaling. This is a great time to
sleep.
Start now and get some good habits going into the new year. This is like your little bit of a run-up into your New Year's resolutions if you're a believer in those types of things. This is a great time to get started now. I threw out there very, very loosely and haphazardly that I had plans on running a 10K next year. Fairly stupid idea, as it turns out, as I've been injured twice when trying to get back into fitness stuff. But
because you keep using that Couch to 10K app, and it is, I swear to God, designed by physios to get you in to the physio.
Classic big physio.
Yeah.
No one loves a conspiracy theory like Zoe Carr, like dead set. But it is one of those areas where you got to take some time for yourself. This is a great time of year to just start to hit some resets on some various things. So I know it'll be something that I'll be focusing on from even before this drops. You know, like it's going to be an area of my focus. Like, Coops, how important have you found it to make sure that your sort of home life as such, but your life off the court is balanced in that space?
It's huge. It's huge. I feel it in my coaching. I feel it in my home life. You know, if I'm not looking after myself, you know, I'm a different person. You know, I don't have the energy. I don't have the focus. You know, I especially like if I'm trying to spend time with my daughter or my wife, you know, I want to have the energy to do that. I don't want to expend it all at basketball and come back with nothing. And I like going to the gym. You know, I like going for walks. You know, I like those things. I know that you know, they're a big part of who I am and my development. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to diving into that, you know, with that little bit of time off. I would highly recommend to coaches starting with Dr. Andrew Huberman, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, James Clear. You know, those guys all have podcasts, or James Clear has been a guest on podcasts, obviously has the book Atomic Habits, which is just a fantastic jumping off point.
Oh, that's a good read. That's a very good starting point for the Sport Talking Split Book Club, which might be point number four, Coops. But we'll come back to that.
I know.
Which is okay.
I knew I was going to step on it a little bit, but I just thought it's time to talk about it.
If you're complaining that Talking Split doesn't go for long enough, jump on a Huberman podcast. That thing goes for an eternity.
Yeah, it really does.
You could run a 10K in that time, and you probably run five of them, in all honesty. Like, it is ridiculous how long it goes, but fantastic listens about the health, how the body works, how the mind works in particular. They're really interesting. Like,
yeah, they really are. Just three guys that have some fantastic tangible things around how you can better look after yourself, how you can create some things. And this is going to be my next point, is routine. It's one of the things that goes in your holiday and is the thing that can really impact the well-being piece. You know, all of a sudden you're sleeping in, and or, you know, what does that do to breakfast, or do you eat breakfast? And, you know, maybe you're going, you know, out for drinks with friends. There's all these different things. So if you can stick to a little bit of a routine, just, it's really going to help you stay on top of those well-being things that are so important.
Yep. Anything you're sort of focusing on Christmas-ish, Zoe, in that sort of space?
I seem to be a bit more external in terms of trying to, like, fill up my cup. So obviously sleep's a big one for me, as you would know, Rob.
Most exercise Zoe gets is when she's asleep.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what it is, but
you put a Fitbit on her. Like, hey, you run 12K last night?
I asked Google to tell me about my sleep, and he always says it was very restless. But anyway, people probably don't need to know that. But anyway, I get a lot of energy from being around the people that I love and being around the people I enjoy. And for me, that's most, like, obviously friends, but mostly family. So being able to just have conversations, have laughs, you know, just sort of almost switch my brain off to the other side of who I am, which is, you know, the basketball coach. You know, I've got a million and one things on the go at any one time, and just sort of just immerse myself in friendship and love and, you know, friend. Conversation. Football friend. But
car friend.
That works on two levels. But that's for me, I know I always leave those things, those sort of engagements or catch-ups or things, feeling a lot better within myself. You know, I had a catch-up with three of the girls I used to play over 20 years ago for the Melbourne Boomers, or Bulleen Boomers at the time. And we caught up and just grabbed some Thai. And I went away from that, and I think I rang you to say I was on my way home, and then just yapped the whole way home because I just felt, you know, I felt good. I felt energized. So I'll be making sure I spend more time for that, but I'll also be making a change to make sure I spend that time throughout the year rather than, you know, we spoke about it the other week. We went to the Def Leppard concert and just something different out. Again, not basketball related, and not having to. It probably sounds like I'm complaining about what I what I do. I don't. I love it, but there was no there was no expectation for me to answer anybody or do anything, or, you know, it was a night out, you know, and again with family, with friends that I really enjoyed. So I'm gonna make a solid effort to try and do those things throughout the year, because I think if we only, you know, subject it to this 1 month, not even a month that we get off, then we're probably setting ourselves up to fail a little bit because we end up burnt out by the end of the year. But things like trying to and very new to all of this stuff, so bear with me, but I had an urge a few weeks ago just to get my feet, bare feet on the ground, just this real, and I was laying on the couch. I just said to Rob, I'm just going to go stand outside. And just like this loon standing in the backyard, just barefoot in the backyard. But just
started watering the concrete. It's really weird.
Bathrobe.
Open.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that sort of stuff. And so then when we did have a day off over the long weekend, we went down to the beach because I just wanted to put my feet in the sand and those sort of things, and really getting back to, and we were talking about it, and you'd said it's called earthing, and that you told me about it before, and I told you you're an idiot.
Welcome, Coops.
I was going to say.
You're not working out, Zoe. Right, this is my life.
I at least admit it. Short-sighted, closed-minded, but there is value in that sort of stuff too.
Diary of a CEO had a great podcast, and I can't remember the guy that was on it, but that's where I sort of heard about it with Stephen Bartlett.
It's called Grounding.
Grounding.
Yep. Yeah. And it's...
I'm good with earthing.
Yeah, like earthing. If Ree listened to the pod, she'd be very upset if I didn't talk about it because we're obviously a bit of a hippie household, as most people know. So, you know, grounding is just fantastic, especially when you're talking about a profession that we're in our shoes, we're on the move, we're always giving, and you know, everything is external. So love the fact that you're taking some time to ground yourself, connect with the earth, you know, just center and breathe and do some things that we take for granted. And, you know, we could be at a basketball tournament and a week could go by really, really quickly and you haven't done anything to just check back in with yourself. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden it's like, and that's where that negative effect happens on the body. So, yeah, I know Ree's clapping big time from far away right now to know that we're talking about grounding on the Talking Split podcast.
There's so many I told you so's here.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. All right, we're moving on. Get reading for the Talking Split book, Cult.
Yes.
Cult. Yes. Drink that Kool-Aid. It's always... I was a lime person when we start talking about the cordials, cooler lime. That was the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Same. Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
You strike me as a red person, Coops.
Yeah, I went to red a little bit later, but my parents...
Was that when you were mixing it with things?
Concoctions?
Yeah.
But no, that's my parents really beat it into me that red was, you know, that was hyper. Can't touch red and, you know, red's, that's the devil's drink, so...
Yeah. So back to the talk, like read the back of the cordial bottle and you'll see just how much sugar is in it for a start.
Yep.
But it is one of those things that this is a great time to get reading. Even just 5-10 minutes a day, if you can jump on, have a little bit of a read of something. There are so many good options out there. I had a coach literally yesterday just send me through, hey, here are my 12 recommendations for book club. I was like, fantastic. How good is this? So we'll start throwing all these together and putting them out there. But Atomic Habits is a brilliant book to start off with. And like it changes... how you look at various aspects of your life, obviously. And one of the most important ones that I still remember reading it, and I've got to go back and reread it anyway, but it was around about the habits of when you go to the shops. And, you know, I am the worst in the world. If I have to go and fill up the petrol, and it's like, hey, check it out. Like
2 for $5.
Yeah, 2 for $5, 20-cent Mars bar. What could possibly be wrong with a 20-cent Mars bar? I'll buy that, no worries. That sort of stuff. Yeah. And it was asking yourself questions. Essentially, and this was one of the things in there. It's like, well, ask yourself the question, would a high-performing athlete eat that? Would a high-performing athlete do that? Would someone that is going to try and run a 10K buy that? And I found that was a really effective way for me to actually not go and get the 2 for $5s because I'm a sucker for a deal. Like if you can multi-buy anything, I am the guy. Like I will buy everything in that space.
We have a shed full of just all the double buy, triple buy.
Yeah. Costco, if you need paper towels, we are your people. Like we can hook you up on that thing. So it is one of the areas, but that straight away has made a massive difference. So just going to read and finding out a different perspective, I think is a really good place to be. Zoe promises me that she will have finished her book, Surrounded by Idiots, by the time she gets back from the US trip.
Yep, I'm going to read it on the plane.
Said with no conviction whatsoever. Coops, anything you're reading at the minute that's worth a look?
Well, just quickly, you know, talking about Atomic Habits and how it ties into reading, and one of the things that he talks about is friction, you know, and that idea of, oh, I've got to read a whole book or I've got to read two whole books in this short period of time. It's daunting. It is, you know. I used to have such great reading hygiene before we had our little one, and since then it's really really difficult, you know. And so that idea of firstly have your books out where you can see them, you know, don't pack them away, you know, because if they're out, it reminds you, it's like, oh yeah, I've got to, you know, I want to pick the book up today. You know, I've got my Stoic journal on the dining table, and as I was on my way in today, and I looked down, I was like, oh damn it, you know, I didn't write in my journal today. So, you know, that's a good way. And then start small. So like you said, Rob, you know, start with a page, start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, whatever it may be, just to get going. So I've got Seneca's Letters to Lucius that I'm kind of a quarter way through. So that one's my kind of Stoic read at the moment. So that's a good one. And then something that one of my Stoic inspirations, Ryan Holiday. So I've got a few of his books. They talk about, you know, him and the Stoics talk a lot about rereading of, you know, not just reading like a lot of books and not really taking much in, but, you know, finding the few books that really talk to you and have changed your life, and just go back and, you know, dog ear and notes and reread. And the Stoics talk about, you know, you never step in the same river twice. And so when you read that book 5 years ago, you were a completely different person. So you're going to read it with a different lens again. So I'm looking forward to, yeah, just taking a little bit of a snapshot of the books next to my bed and being like, okay, you know, which one really spoke to me, and going back in. Not that he's been a great role model recently, but Urban Meyer's Above the Line was actually a really good coach's book. Wouldn't mind going back and looking at Legacy again, yep. You know, and just seeing, you know, how that translates now. Those are a couple that kind of popped to mind.
Yep, sounds good. All right, on to the next. Watch other games as a fan. So take the coaching lens off and just sit there and enjoy a game, preferably in person if you can facilitate it. So understanding not everyone has the time, money, resources to be able to get two games in person. But if you can go and watch a game live, there is WNBL literally on all around the country. Same with NBL. If you have the ability to go and watch a game as a fan, go and watch the game as a fan. It's such a different experience. Like, I know you talk about it a fair bit, Zoe, like just turning up and watching it and supporting the brand and the product is so important, in particular in the WNBL space.
Yeah. From a coach perspective, you know, you learn so much more by being there, because there are things you can hear when the music's turned off. There's things you can hear that you don't get through a broadcast. There's things you see that you don't see on a broadcast. All those sort of things that just and immerse yourself in the atmosphere too. But a really big thing, I suppose this is a little rant, that we have
and
often. well, you started it. So I think from a WNBL perspective, there's a lot of people that continuously go on and beat the drum about, you know, support the WNBL, support the WNBL, support the WNBL. And then you ask them when the last time they went and paid for a ticket to go to a game, and they can't tell you. And that's a problem for me, because, you know, when I go to the WNBL, when I was obviously with the Spirit, I obviously didn't have to pay. But if I go and watch a regular game, I don't want a free ticket. I'll go and I'll pay and I'll contribute.
I'll pay more if I don't have to sit near anyone. Honestly, I love it. Like, but, and this is something we spoke about sort of flipping, like, just, I'll come back to you on this, Zoe, but we were talking about it, Coops, like the ability to watch a game of sport away from everyone else. You can talk to a friend, you can then tune back into a game. I love that. Like, that's why I loved Boxing Day Tests in particular, because I could just sit at the top of Southern Stand, no one near me. I could just watch it. If I wanted to tune in, I could tune in. If I wanted to tune out, I could tune out. I would honestly pay more to not have to sit near anyone. Well, you know, sociable Rob. Yeah. Something I'm trying to get better at. Clearly not working. Back to you, Zoe.
Well, there's not much more to it, but really, as females as well, female coaches, female athletes, you know, mothers, daughters, sisters, all those sort of things, if we came out in force and supported the WNBL, the WNBL would be dripping in sponsorship. The problem is we don't. And now I've done this too, but where, you know, things just, you know, they build up, you've got too much on, you don't have time, it's on TV, so I can watch it at home, you know, all those sort of things. I get it. But if we're going to make a dent and move the sport forward, we as females, women, girls, you know, as I said, mums, daughters, sisters, we are the ones that are going to have to make that happen. We can't sit here and continue to try and lobby for some great saviour to come in and fix it. That's not going to happen while, you know, attendance is – and don't get me wrong, attendance is so much better than it used to be. You know, they're in bigger venues now and, you know, filling more of those venues than ever before. So this certainly isn't a rag on the WNBL. It's not a rag on those that attend or, you know. But you think about the female population, the female basketballing population, and like I said, we could fill venues three times over if we really took this seriously, instead of just waiting for somebody to come and fix it for us. And you know, then those bigger brands would be forced to come in and give genuine sponsorship, like what, you know, similarly the AFL gets for their sponsorship and things like that. So I think it's, you know, if we can get out to games as much as possible, and, you know, support our leagues, particularly our women's league, and we can see a real shift. Because at the end of the day, it's not really about what we get as a part of the league. It's about what these young girls that might be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 at the moment, what's going to be there for them. So if, yeah, it's a duty I think we all have as basketballing females to get to games and support the league and help build it and help drive it. Because if we do it, we can also then, you know, demand accountability too. But right now we can't, because we're not in attendance the way we should be.
Like it. No, we're moving on. Get on some PD and come back better than before. Coops, find a topic that you want to really invest in and invest in it. Is there anything you're looking at the minute?
Yeah, for me, it's... I've got to go to a new level of deciphering the game, and to start on the offensive side of the ball. After listening to Joey Wright at the Performance Coaches Clinic, and thinking about, you know, that idea of, you know, who can we pick on a little bit, and you know the NBA does a really good job of that, but obviously their game style is a lot different to FIBA and how we play, but. You know, I was thinking about our gold medal game against New Zealand, and, you know, we came out and we knew that they were switching heavily off the ball, so we wanted to slip our split action to counter that. So that was good, but that's still at kind of a macro level. And so for me, offensively, I want to try and go deeper into, you know, who's the weak link, where's the weak link, how can I specifically influence picking on that weak link to be more productive and more impactful, you know, from a coach's standpoint. Also, I need to kind of take a step back. I've got back into a little bit of rushing, a little bit time poor. I was listening to podcasts on the way in today and on my walk this morning with Michael Gervais, and he was talking with the former offensive line coach from the Seattle Seahawks, and they were talking about how they were using film to like set the standard for the day. So the film would talk to them, and coming out of the film, they would create a you know, positional group buy-in for what that day had to look like. And I was thinking back to what we did with our NBL1 group with Sandringham, where we brought the big whiteboard out and we had some success criteria. We established a few themes and we had it right there next to the court, and we would go back there often and talk about it. And I was more willing to give up, you know, time in drill, time on floor, to be a little bit more reflective and have the players take a little bit more ownership about what we're doing and are we at the standard, and have them drive it. So starting to look at some strategies around how I can be better in that space. So yeah, those are a few things that I'm really honing in on, and yeah, hopefully coaches can kind of go through the same process and pick out those things and do a deep dive. And if you're not sure, you know, reach out to us, reach out to the people that are important. Because it can be daunting. You know, there's so much great information out there. Sometimes it's hard to know where to begin.
Yep, absolutely. Anything you're sort of focusing on in this little bit of downtime, though?
Yeah, I think for me, mine's more in a communication space. So, again, coaching young female athletes, you're sometimes walking a bit of a tightrope of you've got to hold them accountable, but you also don't want to upset them to the point where they shut off to you. So... making sure that for me, that accountability remains consistent, and using that to help these athletes go from good to great or great to elite. So, you know, what are those small details within those each of those athletes? What are those small details in that, you know, what is their thing? Like, straight away, I've got one athlete who is a lights out shooter. lights out. How do I make her now elite? What's the, you know, she can already shoot the ball well, but what are the, you know, those tiny little adjustments that we might need to make, not to the shot, but to how she gets the shot, how she can she make those shots off the move? Can she make those shots off the bounce? Can she, you know, all those sort of things. What happens when she's startled? Like, can she still, you know, have that same sort of like Bryce Cotton type, you know, ability to finish in any scenario? Those sort of things. So really honing down on the detail of the athletes, of taking them from good to great or great to elite.
Yep, excellent. I'm trying to get better at my communication, very similar in that space. Trying to say less, oddly enough. Like trying to be more efficient with how I talk to people, the feedback I give. I have a knack and I can feel myself doing it now of taking 20 to 30 words to say something that should probably only take 10. And I feel like in 10 words, you can get your point across really quickly. In 20 to 30, people have that choice of, hey, this is going on a little long now. I'm starting to lose a bit of focus. So these podcasts might become a lot shorter, as it turns out, because I might be too efficient in my words. But that's where I'm trying to get to with it, because I do feel like it is something that I can improve on. Next one, get planning for the coming year. So this is a good time, obviously, to reset, but also to lay in a little bit of a calendar as to what you've got on, where you're going to have your gaps, where your downtime is going to look like, when your heavy weeks are going to be. So this is a great time to just plan out, and you can sort of see it visually in front of you. Oh, I actually have no time off this year. I need to address some things. This is a great time, Zoe, I think, to really put it all out in front of you and have a bit of a look at it.
Yeah, and not just your calendar, also your calendar for your team. So if you're coaching a group, you know, what do you want to have, you know, as close to mastered? I mean, obviously young athletes aren't really mastering anything at that age, but, you know, at the level that you want them so you can move on to something else. And, you know, how long are you going to allow for those sort of things? And so, because then again, that helps you then figure out, okay, if I want to get this skill done within 4 weeks of practice and games, I need to hit this, this, and this in all of these sessions here, and, you know, this is how we scaffold, and this, it basically writes your session plans for you, but keeps you on task as well, because I think we spoke on one of the mistakes pods about, you know, things start to go a little bit wrong, that those are the first things that go, those plans. We throw them out and we start and create a new one instead of just sticking to the plan. Obviously, you might have to make some other minor adjustments within gameplay, for example, but you've got that plan for a reason, and you've been able to make that plan when you've been clear of mind. Generally, those, when we throw it out, is because we're emotional or things aren't working, we're angry, all those sort of things. So I'd suggest hold on to those, but being able to then, you know, reverse engineer. So at the end of the year, I want these athletes to come out with skill set A, B, C, and D. So to do that, you know, at this stage of the season, they need to be able to do A, B, and C. And at this stage, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it really does, if you can go along with that timeline, helps plan out your sessions, particularly if things are going badly. Keeps your emotion out of it, and it can just, you know, keep you on track with what you're doing. And you can show it to the parents at the start of the year as well. Hey, this is what we're going by. This is what I'm guided by. This is what I'm looking to achieve throughout the year. And if we win the thing by doing this, great. If we don't, great. Like, because ultimately the development's the most important thing. So, yeah, I'd track that out as well.
Yep, like it a lot. Coops, anything different there?
I'd be remiss if I didn't say to coaches, you know, do whatever you can to grade as high as possible. Yep, absolutely. That's priority one. And then your periodization should change to athlete first, player development, and then concept building and decision making through concept and small-sided games. Like, please, 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 coaches, get into that mindset of putting the athlete first. And if your athlete goes on, if you have one guy that goes on or one girl that goes on, that's the job. Like, you've done your job outstanding. We applaud you. The community applauds you. There is so many VJBL banners gathering dust with coaches, you know, that you know, have made very little impact in what we're trying to do as a sport, and importantly, trying to help these kids achieve their dreams. So, you know, when you're in that planning phase, yep, absolutely. You're going through the grading process. Do what you can. If you got to press, press, whatever it may be, understand that, go do it. But as soon as you get there, you've got your destination now, really try and focus back in on how can I get, like what Zoe said, how can I get my players from point A to point B, you know, making the best basketball, making them the best person, you know, providing them the best experience, giving them the most joy that they can have. Probably just the only other thing is, you know, think about all the areas too. Think about, you know, your culture calendar. You know, are there some things that, you know, you need to plan out to make sure that you're building that side of your program? You know, have you got a family calendar? You know, how does basketball relate to your family, and making sure that you've got that balance in place, so you know you don't get to those points of the season where, you know, you're missing key time at home or vice versa. So it's just great. You know, we always complain about being time poor. We've got time now to plan, so let's use it.
Yeah, well, and part of it is getting to know your players in that space too, and find out what they want from you, because that will allow you to help planning. There's nothing wrong with throwing a little survey out to your players about, hey, what do you really want to work on? What's fun for you? What does this look like? That will allow you to plan it the correct way, because ultimately your job at the end of the day is to keep your players in the sport.
Yeah.
If they're not there, they're not going to improve, so it doesn't really matter in any other way. So find out what they find enjoyable, tailor it to that. No player doesn't enjoy getting better. So how can you work it around that so that they will attend, so that they will improve, so that it is athlete first, winning second? That's the real plan in that space. Next one, Coops, work out some of your players. Some of your players may reach out and say, Coops, I'm getting itchy feet, itchy hands. I need to get shots up. I feel like I haven't touched a ball in 3 days. Can you come and work me out? What would you say to someone in that space?
Depends.
Ooh, the bestie special.
You know, it depends on where I'm at with my holiday. You know, how much time have I dedicated to my family? How much time have I dedicated to myself? You know, can I give, you know, that this valuable time back to the athletes? Sometimes it might be yes, sometimes it might be a no, of course. Let's go with the yes answer.
Yep.
For me, I'd be going straight back to the athlete again. You know, how can I help develop awareness in the athlete? How can I, you know, help them understand what their strengths are and how to build a point of difference? So if I did have the time, like when I was living in Ballarat, that was great, you know, hard to get out of there, and, you know, with access to the courts and all those sorts of things. So tomorrow I've got an hour between 9 and 10. What do you want to work on? You know, you've got to come back to me with your plan. You've got to tell me, what are we going to do in that hour? And of course, like, I'd help them, you know, I'm not just kind of throwing them to the wolves, but, you know, you need to have a think about, okay, well, I'm in the off season. You know, I had my exit interview with my coach, and I'm thinking about, you know, I want to make a junior national team or whatever, depending on the level of the athlete. I need to understand, how am I going to maximize this time? And, you know, there's been instances where they've said, oh, yeah, I want to do this, this, and I'm like, nah. I'm like, no way. Like, you are so off the mark, or this does not relate to, you know, the player that you are, the player that you want to become.
You're 4'5". Yeah. We're not doing post-mates.
Yeah, that's right. You know, go back, have another run at it. So that's a big one for me, is to use that time to help them understand who they are, what they need to work on. You know, and then selfishly, it just takes a little bit off your plate too. Like, you're still giving, you're still going to be there. You're going to give, you know, you're going to give them your time, which is really what they want. But they've got to do some legwork.
Yep. You traditionally get the message over the summer holidays, Zoe, about from nieces and nephews, saying, "Hey, any chance we can get a workout in?"
Yeah.
And you normally do exactly that. You throw it back on them. It's like, all right, you organise with everyone else when they can get there. And there have been times where there's been crickets, and it's like, well, that's okay. No worries. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it. That's fine. And there have been other times where they've been highly motivated, and it's like, it's going to be at 10 o'clock at this primary school. We're going to be
and
there.
We're all there.
Yeah, it's like, wow, okay, no worries. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing that you talk about too. There has to be some players having the skin in the game as well.
Yeah, I think it can't be coach driven, and it shouldn't be, particularly in that time. You know, we talk about the athletes never getting time off. Well, coaches are always there too. So it's really important. If they're going to take that time, they need to know what to do with it. But what I will say to coaches is avoid if an athlete or two athletes, you know, or worse, their parents contact you and say, can you do a workout with my child? if that happens, throw that out to the group because I've seen it happen in teams before where it then just looked like, you know, a special little group of two or three that got you know, FaceTime with the coach. So, you know, if the parents, you know, come to you for that, please, you know, do yourself a favour. It's more just to save you the heartache later in the season, because as soon as one of those athletes gets slightly more court time, or, you know, one of the ones that weren't there get held accountable or something like that, that's when all the trouble starts to leak in. So, yeah, just make sure you throw that out there. But if the athletes, you need to figure out, if you're going to give up your time, you need to figure out, are the athletes really wanting to get better, or are they trying to show you that they're doing work?
Or they just want someone to rebound for them.
And
sometimes
I'll give you the hot tip. I'm not on my holidays coming to rebound for you. Sorry. But it's a big thing. You need to figure that out. And that's why that self-reflection piece comes in of, what do you want to work on? What do you think you need to get better at? But it's also a case of, too, hey, coach, can we work out? Yes, I've got between X time and X time on this day, and that's it. Mm. Because otherwise you're going to end up moving other things around, and all of a sudden your holiday is just gone. So, you know, again, like you said before, Rob, be kind to yourself and allow yourself that time and those boundaries to be able to have that time off, but still, you know, work on the athlete's development, the ones that are serious about it.
Yep, excellent. Next one in, number 9. So we've got 4 more to go. Reconnect with former players and coaches. Like, there are times where you are so invested in your team, you see your team more than you see your family at times. Like, they are that close with you. And all of a sudden, the end of the season happens. It's like, all right, catch ya. And you never see or hear from them again after spending potentially up to 2 years or longer in some cases with a team and sort of being invested in each other's lives. So for mine, find a way to reconnect with former players, coaches you used to talk to that you haven't spoken to for a little while. You've got time. Sometimes, for some people, this can be a really lonely time of year, like for a lot of different reasons, and basketball's kind of the outlet, and all of a sudden basketball's not there anymore. It's like, geez, I'm sort of treading water a little bit until it can come back. So just throw that message out. Hey, how are you going? What's going on? Like, I know I love it when I get messages from former players. There's a couple in particular that I really enjoy, and there's a couple in particular I don't. It's just like, oh, this is going to be something stupid. I can see what's going on. You know who you are too, because I know you listen to this. But in particular, if you see something on like Instagram and you see like the direct message from one of them, it's like, oh, what have you done? Like, this could be chaos, but it is genuinely nice to hear from people that you used to have so much in common with and speak to, and sort of find out how their family's going. What are they up to now? Are they still playing? Are they doing something else? Are they studying? Those types of things. I think for mine, that's actually a great way to, and a great time of you to reconnect with people as well, because they are a very big part of your life and what you do. It takes 10 seconds to shoot a message. And again, not to go part 3 of things I've done wrong, this has been an area I've dropped the ball on in particular, that I haven't been as great with. And it's, and there's a kid, I think we've spoken about him on the podcast before, that now lives in Barcelona. It's like, one, insanely jealous. but two, every now and again, it's just really nice to hear from him. And, hey, you're doing well. Excellent. You know, basketball wasn't what you wanted it to be. You're not playing in the NBA or anything like that. But it's kind of cool that it set you up to be a good person to then go and live in a different country and do what they wanted to do. So for mine, that is one area in particular that I know I'm going to get better at over this break. And for all those that have had me coach them previously, you'll probably hear from me at some stage. don't block my number.
And if you don't,
yeah, you might
take
be the
that
kid.
Too. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, there's a couple on that list. No, it's but it is a genuine area that I think coaches, we can be better at in that space. All right, punch them through them because we are a little short on time today. Organise a coaches catch up for a bit of a round table. So I know we're saying get some time away and all that sort of stuff. There's nothing wrong with, if you've got a bunch of coaches that want to have a chat, bring them into the room together. This is a great time of year to be able to do it and just discuss some things. Like, Coos, you've been a part of these tons of times. Like, how does it normally happen?
Yeah, I love it. It usually happens because you have someone like Rob who's driving it, and you just get to show up and reap all the benefits. So if you can be the Rob of your group and actually...
Oh, geez, don't put that on people.
Go.
We don't need more Robs.
No, we don't. We really need this one.
If you can get people in the room, you know, just it ties right back into the last one. You know what I mean? I'm awful at it. You know, I've made so many wonderful connections, you know, through this amazing sport of ours, and I just don't do a good enough job of keeping those connections, and I just struggle to be on the phone. That's just not who I am. I struggle cold calling people, and I got to get better at it. Shout out to Ash Arnott, who's just the absolute czar of the phone.
Ridiculous how good he is. And annoying too, how good he is at it.
Seriously, like all time. He's all time.
But what he gives, he also takes away. Try getting an email from him.
Yeah, no chance. No chance. You're more likely to get one from me. You hit on a really good one there though, Coops. It doesn't have to necessarily be in person. Mm-hmm. Like you think back to the COVID era, which I'm sure a lot of us are trying to forget about, which I understand too. But the amount of times we used to catch up via Zoom, you'd have those discussions as well. Like I'd still remember watching the bronze medal game at the Olympics. It was on the TV, but I had Ash Arnott was one of them, Dom Lanossier, Jack Fleming. We were all on a Zoom together watching it at the same time, and it was cool.
Yeah.
Like we're not all in the same state, but it was great to be able to watch a game that we're all emotionally invested in with other people where you could just say, did you see that? Yeah, cool, that's interesting. Yeah. It was just really nice to be able to do. Zoe, are you a coach catch-up person, or are you more of a are you a big group person or more of a one-on-one person?
Not one-on-one. I'm a small group person. I think sometimes in a big group, I tend to sacrifice my development for functionality because there's so many people talking. And I just go, oh, just shut up so we can move on to the next one. Or, you know, like, so I don't actually say anything, which a lot of people probably are pretty happy about. But I then sort of walk away from those and go, oh, that's a bit of a, not a waste of my time because I still learn a lot and I learn from other people, but I'm disappointed in myself in not, you know, throwing myself in there. But a smaller group I think is perfect for me, and so we can have that sort of still that 1v1 connection, but
there's not
also awkwardness of just two people in a room. Just, you know, like, what are we dating? Like, yeah.
It's funny though, because we got an association course running at the moment, which will have finished by the time this drops. And for week one, we put everyone into small groups of three. So we had 21 in the course. So there were 7 groups of three around the place.
That's quick math.
Very good. I double check myself. I'm sure that was right. Yeah, you caught me on that. But you couldn't shut the groups up. Constant talking, like a real buzz in the room. The second week, we split them in half and we went 2 groups of 1 of 10, 1 of 11 coops. There you go. And it was amazing the marked difference it was. There was more tension because people had things they wanted to get out, but only one person was talking at once. So 10 people had to stand around and listen while that was happening. And part of it was part of the exercise, but part of it also too was a really interesting sort of study in how groups can work and how they can't work at times. Those smaller groups are so much more efficient ways of getting things done in those big groups.
Well, and the dominant personalities will always come out in those situations because, like I said before, I remember being in one of those coach catch-ups and I think there was probably near on 20 coaches in the room. And so I'm not even sure I spoke for the entire thing. And the dominant, most experienced or older sort of heads basically just ran the day. Like they... You know, we just listened to what they had to say, which, again, learned a lot from, but I didn't
part of the
feel
test
I participated.
Part of the test is putting your own stuff out there
evaluated almost. Exactly. So I think that's where that and part of it is too, you know, females are more likely to sort of sit back in those bigger situations if there are – generally more males in the room, which more often than not it is. So the smaller groups suit us probably a little bit better and suit most people a little bit better. I think you can have that connection and have that conversation without sort of feeling like you're having to broadcast to an entire group, there's probably a feeling of less judgment for me as well. So I'm a little bit more confident being able to come out and say what I have to think or what I have to say or what I think, because, you know, it might only be two people or three people that have something to think about it as opposed to 15 to 20. And, you know, that can be daunting.
That's key, right? You got to think about who you want in the room. You know, you don't want the three people, you know, that are sycophants or yes men, you know, that are just going to sit there and nod and, oh, yeah, how good are you? Like, that's, you know.
I'm nodding at the moment, Coos, yeah. But I promise it's out of it. I do agree with what you're saying.
And then you don't want the opposite, you know what I mean? You don't want, that's just trying to just beat your back every time. So, you know, again, just having that thought process around, okay, well, that coach is currently using this system that I'm not familiar with, so maybe I'll, you know, see if I can connect with them and learn and challenge them a little bit and so on. So have a think about that. And then the other part is the time piece too, right, in that kind of came out of what both of you guys were talking, because you want to get to that third question, you know, because usually it's like, okay, what do we think about the flex offense? Oh, okay, I like it because of A. Oh, yeah, but then I would beat that with this. And then it's like, okay, we move on. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, but what if I did this? Oh, but then what, you know, and what, you know, and now all of a sudden we're really into this thing and we're drilling down on it and we're starting to find some creativity and innovation and see who's seeing the game a different way. So, again, like, think about that. Maybe a little bit less is more on your topics. You know, can you go a little bit further into some of the things you're talking about and just be aware of who's going to be in the room and how you're going to challenge each other?
Yep, like it. Two to go. Watch another sport. And in particular, watch it from a basketball perspective. What does the coach or the manager do? How is the game played? Are there similar structures? Watch something else and just come in with a completely fresh lens. A bit of a Sunderland update. Coops, how are we tracking?
Actually, pretty well. Sitting around six going into this FIFA window. So won our last game. So only as good as your last game. So winners are grinners. So, yeah, very happy Black Cat over here.
Very good. But that is obviously a sport that we watch a fair bit of. We do watch a lot of EPL and those types of things just as a little bit of a break. I find it refreshing just to watch a sport that I know really nothing about. Like, I know you can't use your hands if you're in the outfield. Like, I got that one down without too many issues. But really, it's just fun to watch a different sport and the behind the scenes. Like, there are so many documentaries out there. It's like, we talk about Sunderland, but Sunderland Till I Die is a fascinating watch and somewhat depressing.
Don't talk to Coops about it.
Yeah, you know,
no follow-up.
Just in the fetal position over there, Coops, next to the Andrew Gaze poster, I see. But that's a great watch. The Welcome to Wrexham one on Disney is a fantastic watch. All the All or Nothing series are brilliant. Yeah. Looking behind the scenes, that's how I became a Man City supporter and jump on the winning train, of course. But it's, you know, it's helped. But it is a really fun watch of a different sport completely. And there's been a lot of stuff that I've taken from that into basketball with how they structure things and the game management and those types of things. So I think it's really valuable to actually watch another sport.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, spot on. We can just take so much from other sports and not necessarily, you know, strategy. There's so much going on, and that's the beauty of coaching is, you know, you get this opportunity to impact people and impact games and impact, you know, programs and. And there's just all this wonderful, you know, movement. It's so dynamic that's really interesting. One of the sports I'm kind of getting back into, probably not the right framing, but is ice hockey.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So some friends of ours are really into ice hockey, and I was watching it the other day, and I was like, oh, I kind of forgot how much I like ice hockey. And then
violence.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
blood on
the
ice.
Fact that, like, you can hit each other and
take a skate off and stab someone.
Yeah, exactly. And it was nice, yeah. It made me think back to, you know, thinking about how they use their interchanges and, you know, how they move and, you know, how they value, you know, possession of the puck and, you know, when they decide to shoot, you know, their shot quality and how that relates to us. So there's, yeah, I mean, we could talk about other sports and how they impact basketball for hours and hours, but it's definitely worthwhile when you got the time.
Yep. Flying V, still a thing. Is that a tactic that's used in ice hockey?
Yeah, I used it the other night at MPP. Didn't go well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full Gordon Bombay.
Yeah.
And just hope for the best. Didn't watch the remake. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Zoe, are there any other sports you'd be watching in this sort of time away?
I'm pretty big. I'm still learning about, and I'll call it football, but for those, just in case, we are talking soccer. I'm still learning about, you know, how it all works and all those sort of things, but I'm fascinated by it.
It doesn't go super well with your sleep schedule, it must be said. Like the 2:30 kickoff is not ideal for you.
And then it doesn't help with our relationship when I'm like, why is that happening? Well, why is this? And you're just like, I just want to sit and watch a game. Normally you're asleep, go back to sleep. I find probably the most relatable being football or slash soccer, because of, you know, structures, ball movement, player movement, scanning, you know, all those sort of things, tactics, all those sort of things I think can translate. Obviously, it probably doesn't seem like it on face value because of the differences in our game, but when you dig in a little deeper, it does. And I think also if you don't want to watch the sport, then research what the sport does from a development perspective, because if you were to look deeper into soccer, the work that they have done on adaptive trainings and competitions, on small-sided games, decision-making, scanning, all that work that they have done has been second to none. No other sport has come close so far that I've seen in their research and development implementation. So it doesn't have to be watch the game. If you know, I know some people watch soccer and think it's, you know, boring. I'm cutting to The Simpsons where, you know, they're playing and everyone gets, you know, bored while the commentator's screaming. But yeah, look into that then if watching the game's not for
What's
you.
What's the highlights? Like anyone that subscribes to Optus Sport, I'll take a free membership if there's one going, but anyone that subscribes to that, I love like the little 9-minute games. Yeah. Like they're perfect for me. Like that's probably about my attention span at the best of times. Sometimes it's extended. But that for me is about right, that I can watch that, I can be engaged with what's going on as well.
A quick shout out to Zoe too for mentioning scanning before I did on the pod. So
thanks.
Yeah.
Jeez. What a dark day we've had. What a dark day. That's all right. And our last one, obviously, and it's been a fairly consistent theme through all of these, but it is remiss of us not to come back to it. Get some time away. Get some time for yourself. Look after yourself. Just find a way to get a little bit of separation, whether it be from the sport, your players, other coaches, whatever the case may be, but carve out some time for yourself and find a way to not be disturbed in that time as well. Spend time with your family, revisit your family, reacquaint yourself with your family, reintroduce yourself to your family, potentially, depending on how it's going. But it is one of those areas too where you do have to get a little bit of time away for yourself here. This is one of the few windows where everything is done and you're not going to be disturbed by too much else going on out there. But that's probably the biggest thing, is just get a little bit of time away from the sport this time of year. Not easy to do.
No, but you've got to set your boundaries and you've got to stick to them. And it's tough because we're givers and we're helpers and we're all those sort of things. But the second you stray away from your boundaries, floodgates will open and you'll be right back to where you started, and then the season will be starting and you will have missed the opportunity to reset yourself. So, you know, whether it's 1 week, 2 week, whatever you need, but let everybody know in the sport that from a basketball perspective, because you might have friends, you know, your coaches that you're friends with, you know, you might catch up with them and things like that. So from a basketball perspective, I am offline from these dates. And then outside of that, then, you know, then we get back into the stuff we've already spoken about.
Yep, like it a lot. That wraps us up. Christmas puns.
I'm so late on all of
so
these.
So much so. Coos gives me something straight away. He's like, yes. Like, starts laughing. Zoe just looks there vacant at both of us. Like, what are you talking about?
Seriously, Zoe. You don't understand the gift that this is.
Ah, I got that one instantly. There we go.
She is slowly melting.
You know why? Because he emphasized the word.
Oh, dear. Like I said, that's us done for the year. Put a bow on it. So we are at a position now where we've done the pod for an entire year. We've roughly worked out to be one every two-ish weeks, which is a lot more than we've done in previous years. So we like to think we're punching through some content here. Coaches out there, honestly, thank you so much for listening. All the emails, the messages and all that sort of stuff we get from you makes it worth doing, because we never really know. It's one of those things where we could probably just sit in here and talk rubbish for an hour on end, put the microphones up and not record anything, and people that walk past go, geez, they're diligently at work in there. We could talk rubbish for hours on end. There is no doubt about that. But to know, like, to take the effort to honestly just send an email or a text or a message or anything along those lines to say, hey, I got some real value out of this or that. The amount of times we bump into people just around stadiums, like, hey, I really enjoyed that. Like, we saw Simon Wigg the other day, like, as we were walking through State Basketball Centre, and legend of a person, yeah. Simon Wigg, like, absolutely.
All time.
Really is. And he's like, hey, I really liked your episode on mistakes you've made. I reckon I've got about half a dozen to add to it. Like, yeah, cool. Like, it's nice to hear from people in that space as well. So, coaches out there, we really do genuinely thank you for listening to it. If you didn't listen, there'd really be no need to put this out in the first place. So massive thanks to them. Massive thanks to you two and Bestie and Jenna, who have both jumped on the pod this year as well. And coaches, that is it. Let the sleigh bells ring. We are out of here. Coops thought I was actually playing a little music. No, he's not. We are out. Enjoy, coaches.